Hi, I'm Nick Rigoretti, and this is the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast, the show for grapplers and martial artists that want to evolve both on and off the mat.
Hi guys, this is a special episode of the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Podcast. Usually episodes are scheduled well in advance, and this one was not. This one just came up as a spur of the moment type thing. It's my friend Mike Bidwell. The reason I decided to do this show is Mike is opening a new academy in Colorado, and I wanted to help him get the word out there by having a discussion with him about what he hopes to achieve with this new academy. It sounds, it may sound like you're about to listen to an infomercial, but it's completely not the case. Mike has got some really interesting ideas about the way an academy should be run and the way people should be treated. And I thought that that was something that you guys would appreciate. And it turned out to be a really cool episode of the show. And I think you guys will get a lot out of it. So before we get started on this special episode, please head over to our store site, which is store.jiu-jitsubrother.com, and pick out some of our amazing stuff. We have such cool merchandise. I mean, it just blows my mind that I'm able to choose any of this merchandise and train in it whenever I want, because it's just such high quality. And also we have fantastic training and instructional material. We've got Beyond Technique 1 and 2, which is a conceptual focus series. We've got BJJ Building Blocks, which is specifically for beginners, the foundational techniques and moves of Jiu-Jitsu. We've got my two books, The Black Belt Blueprint and Beyond the Black Belt. And we've also got one of Mike's programs, which is called Flow Jiu-Jitsu. And there's some other stuff on there too. It's all high quality stuff and all stuff that will help your Jiu-Jitsu. So head on over to store.jiu-jitsubrother.com. Use the coupon code podcast and you'll get 10% off. And finally, remember, you can also get any of the awesome CBD-based products from Truth Naturals. If you head on over to truthnaturals.co.uk and use the code JJBTruth, you'll get a discount on those as well. Okay, guys, this is Mike Bidwell. Peace out. Hey guys, this is the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood Show, and I'm here with a very close friend of mine, one of the best dudes practicing the art today, one of the coolest people I know. Second time on the show for Mike Bidwell. Mike, how
Actually,
are you, my brother?
Actually, this is the third time.
No,
yeah, this
stop
is our
it.
Third time. Can you believe that?
On the Jiu-Jitsu
yep,
Brotherhood
time.
Show? Damn. Okay, well, yeah. I got to check myself then, because I could have sworn it was the
third.
Second time.
This is our third time.
That's cool, man. Well, you're the first. I really hope you are the first person who's on for the third time. Otherwise, I'm definitely losing my mind.
But it's the first time we've been in the same time zone, so that's pretty awesome.
Okay, cool. So the funny thing is, I just have to tell people this story. So it always cracks you up because when we were scheduling this call, I kept saying, "Okay, I'm on Arizona time. Like, we're gonna chat at 11 a.m. on Arizona time," and little did I know that we're in the same time
right.
zone. Like, I still don't know how all the time zones work in the States. And you were like, yeah, we're really close now. We live really close to each other. And I was like, okay, you're in Denver, right? And you're like, yeah, I live in a part of Denver called Lakeview. So I type it into Google Maps. And it's, I mean, to anyone except an American, it is a lifetime away. It must be like, but I guess it's closer than we
That's
were before,
right.
man.
A lot closer.
Yeah. So the big news in your life is you were living in upstate New York and you decided I'm out and you dropped the mic and you headed over to Denver
yeah.
or
well,
to
Lakewood,
Colorado.
Yeah, Lakewood, Colorado. Yeah.
Lakewood. Okay, cool. And the big thing going on in your life now is you've got a new academy
right.
that's about to open any
that's
day
right.
now.
We're going
to
actually our grand opening is this Saturday. It was supposed to be last week, but we had a few delays with our mats, but we're finally got our mats installed and we have our grand opening coming up this Saturday. My wife, Sheena, is going to be doing a women's self-defense class, you know, through the Jiu-Jitsu Sisterhood.
Nice.
And then we're also doing and we're doing a kids clinic on Saturday and, you know, like activities and food and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we officially kick off Monday the 15th with classes. So
wow,
yeah,
that's cool.
It's super awesome. Yeah, it's dope. We're really excited.
Chris Perry, if you're listening to this, you cannot duck Jiu-Jitsu anymore. Chris is a blue belt and he's fallen off the wagon and he needs to get back in shape. And I connected you with him on Facebook recently.
That's right. Yeah, we spoke the other day. He's coming in on Monday.
He better be. I will never forgive him if he doesn't, man. He better be. That's cool. So, Mike, what I want to know from you, I really consider you to be one of the more progressive thinkers in jiu-jitsu. You're not just satisfied with the status quo, and you're constantly trying to push your approach and to an understanding of jiu-jitsu further and to look at it in new and exciting ways. And I wanted to know what is going to make this academy different.
Well, there's a few different things. So, you know, I have my BJJ After 40 online community, which I built up over the last, since like 2013, 2014. And we have a huge following, you know, over 100,000 followers on Facebook, and we're approaching 60,000 followers on Instagram. So it's really grown. And what that's afforded me is a lot of feedback from a huge cross section of the jiu-jitsu community. And just like you with Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood, I'm able to communicate with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could put a post up about, you know, injuries, for example, you know, what happens, you know, how often have you gotten injured in jiu-jitsu? And I get tons of feedback from people. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that feedback that I've gotten over the last few years are things that have really helped me create the framework for this school. And, you know, one of the big things that I hear a lot is, especially from like the over 40 crowd, is when they go to a class, like there's a breakdown in translation between when we see a move and it's taught to when we go back to our partner, we're trying to actually do the move, right? Mm-hmm. So like a typical jiu-jitsu class, you walk in and the instructor teaches a move, everybody gathers around, they teach a move, and everybody goes about themselves with their partner and they practice the move, and the instructor goes around and he helps everybody. And, you know, and mostly it works pretty well, right? But what I've heard from a lot of people is that when they're seeing a move, like they have a hard time in those few moments of really getting that information. And they're also getting it from the perspective of whatever belt or whatever experience level they're at, right? Mm-hmm. So they have trouble a lot of times actually from the point of seeing the move to going and practicing the move and then actually making that move work when they're training. And then I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, when they go home and they're in front of a computer and they have the video in front of them, they can really pick up the move. But the problem is when you're at home, you don't have a partner there. Mm-hmm. And you also don't have the feedback from a black belt, from an instructor. So, you know, over the course of the last few years building up BJJ After 40, you know, we've got all these videos that we've done and all this content that we created. So my idea was to bridge those two worlds. So what we've done in our classroom environment here in our school at Flow Life is we have a huge TV monitor on the wall. And so what we're doing is we're filming all of our curriculum. So when someone comes to a class, they're going to learn the move in the traditional sense where I teach the move and they all gather around and watch the move. But as when they go back to their partner, they have the ability to watch the move from multiple angles on the TV monitor too. So they're always seeing the move.
Wow, that's cool. So,
yeah, it's really cool because it sort of merges those two worlds. And I think it makes for a better learning environment because it really allows you to learn that move sort of, you know, you get to see the instructor do the move, but you're also like with no pressure on your own picking up that move too and seeing it on your own from multiple angles and in slow motion and reverse and so forth.
That's cool.
So that's one of the, yeah, it's pretty cool. And that's one of the big things that we've done. And the other part of that too, what we're able to do is during the open mat, which we don't call it open mat here, we call it open collaboration. I love open mats, you know, where you're in there and it's open, right? And you can train and with an open mind. But the thing that we're doing a little bit different during the open collaboration is we have our videos available to the students. So they can click on the TV and watch anything that we have on our BJJ After 40 channel. Plus we're going to have content that's going to be only for our students that they can see here in the school too. And they can watch the moves, learn the moves, collaborate together. It gives people a forum to create from.
That's cool. So yeah. I understand that your curriculum is going to be different and the way you approach the teaching, but also would it be correct in saying that you're going to have a very different ethos as well?
Yeah, totally. Like, you know, I think the culture of the school is really, really important. You know, one of the things too that I hear from people is about injuries all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's heartbreaking every time I put a post up and, you know, ask about injuries and it's like, you know, 500 comments and half of them are, you know, pictures of x-rays and people with broken limbs and, you know, just people getting destroyed doing jiu-jitsu. And we don't start this to break down our body. We do this to enhance ourselves and to enhance our personal life, because, you know, everybody wants to get up tomorrow and, like, you know, most people that do jiu-jitsu are like normal people, and they have jobs and they have, you know, kids that they want to pick up and, you know, lives that they want to lead. So, you know, in that sense, I want to create an environment where people can still, like, have tough roles and enjoy the training, but they're also not going to get killed doing it too.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is something Liam Reznikov and I spoke about in a recent episode of the show. He was referring to, he said he was around some older traditional martial artists. I think they were karate guys. And he said that these guys are like healthy and vibrant, and that he doesn't see that in older jiu-jitsu guys. They're all beat up and broken down. And I personally don't want to be like that. But at the same time, this is a conundrum. This is a something that I'd love your input on, because it's something I'm, excuse the pun, wrestling with at the moment, which is, you know, jiu-jitsu is a functional martial art. It's very much a functional, no bullshit martial art. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And your opponent's resisting you. And that's the crucible in which the techniques and the concepts are developed and tested. Yeah. So I enjoy sparring, but at the same time, I don't enjoy it, because I know, especially as I'm getting a little bit older, it comes with a price, man. And that price is, I feel really, really jacked up the next couple of days, especially if I'm sparring with someone like a bigger, stronger guy or like higher level guy. It's a war, basically. So I don't want to say I want to avoid sparring, but I want to minimize it at this point, because I want to stay healthy and stay being able to teach for as long as I can. But I want to keep testing my jiu-jitsu and making sure I'm not teaching people bullshit and making sure it's still as functional as possible. And I haven't yet come across someone who's got a good way to bridge that divide. And any insight you could give on that would be much appreciated.
Well, you know what's interesting? This is the longest I've gone without rolling right now. I haven't rolled in 3 months. Like, I've not rolled in 3 months now. That's like the longest I've gone without rolling. And most of it was because we were putting this school together and we were so engrossed in, you know, building this. And then part of it too, at first it was just that. And then it became like, I think I'm just going to kind of take like 3 months right now. And it has, you know, I'm still exercising, I'm still stretching, I'm still moving, I'm creating movement, and I'm doing a lot of jiu-jitsu related movements. I'm just not rolling right now. I haven't rolled in 3 months. And it's interesting because my body feels better now than it's felt in a long time. And in some ways it doesn't feel as good too. You know what I mean? Like, I always feel a little bit more alive when I'm rolling. So from that sense, I kind of miss that. Like, I feel like I'm hungry for it, you know? But I also feel like my joints and my limbs feel a lot better too.
Yeah, I get that perspective, but it's still
gotta train though.
I gotta train, you know. And for me, I don't really know I'm looking for the answer. Maybe it's just train. Maybe it's agreeing. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking because I've just started teaching a couple of classes a week here in Arizona. I'm starting actually the first one tomorrow night, and just yesterday or the day before, I was at an open mat somewhere, at an open collaboration sharing session. And this kid, you know, he was a young Brazilian kid, purple belt, and he asked me to spar. And I just knew it was a bad idea. I fucking knew it, dude. I knew it. I've got an injury that I've been carrying my knee for a while, and it gets better. And then I go and spar, and it gets messed up again. And then it gets better, and I spar, and it gets messed up again. And I agreed to spar this kid, and he put on a straight foot lock and it jacked my knee. And
oh man,
it wasn't his fault at all. It was my fault. But I guess the thing that I was really upset and frustrated by this, and I made a promise to myself yesterday that, cool, I'm only going to spar with people that I absolutely know I know there's a very high probability in which I'm not going to get injured. Yeah. So that if that means just the one, there's a dude at Undisputed, the place where I'm training. His name's Kevin. He's a good purple belt and he's light. I mean, I weigh the guy by 40 or 50 pounds, but when we roll, it's basically like a dance, dude. It's not like one of those bulldog, like, crush rolls. And after that roll, sure, I haven't got that kind of, like, it's not the same as if you're training for a competition and, like, you don't, leave feeling like, fuck, yeah, that was a proper war. And, like, you know, I don't, but I also don't leave limping, and I don't wake up the next day, like, and get out of bed feeling like a 65-year-old man.
Right.
So I've made the decision that for the foreseeable future, not forever, but for a while at least, while I've got these few niggling injuries, I'm not rolling. I'm not taking any rolls that are going to put me at risk physically. Does that make sense?
I mean, I think that's the key point, is what you're saying right there. And I think that's a lot of the answer to that is the relationship that you're having with your own body, mm-hmm. which far supersedes the relationship you're having temporarily on the mats with someone else. You know what I mean? Like, they want to roll, like you're saying, like you have that feeling sometimes that in everybody's head, it's been around for a while. You're like, I don't think I should do this roll, this last roll. And then you go and do it.
Yeah.
And then you get hurt, right? It almost always seems to happen like that. You're like, oh, I think I should stop. But then you don't listen to your intuition and you roll because, you know, you're sometimes
ego, dude.
Right. Yeah. You're a slave to someone else's ego.
Or your own ego.
Or your own. Right.
The thought that was going through my mind is like, fuck, man. Like, it was an open mat. I don't want to be known as someone who's ducking dudes.
Right.
But fuck it, dude. That's just, I got to get over that. I really got to get over
that. It is. And that's that. I think that's the biggest challenge is like, yeah, that listening to creating and cultivating that conversation with your body and not allowing your ego to kind of slip in there and take over sometimes. Mm-hmm. And listening to your body too, like if you're having those days that, you know, especially if you're teaching a lot, you know, that you're having those days where you're kind of banged up feeling, knowing that like you probably just shouldn't roll today, or who can I trust rolling right now? Like who's a safe partner and who's a good person that I can dance with versus like, I'm not really in for a war today.
Mm-hmm. No, I, that's cool. That's cool. It's talking to you is kind of galvanized me in my position, dude. And I think, yeah, so anyone listening, if you see me on the mats and you want to tear my head off to prove a point, it's not going to happen. I remember once I was in Australia. This was going on like 7 or 8 years ago. And I was training at this gym in the middle of Sydney. I can't remember the name of the gym. But there was an Australian UFC fighter at the time. I'm sorry, I cannot remember his name. I think it was... Sorry, dude, I just can't remember his name. But I remember he was rolling downstairs with there was like an upstairs regular section of the gym where the public would train, and then there was like a downstairs section where like some of the professional fighters and stuff would train, and he was sparring downstairs with a buddy of his, and I went down. It was actually a really shitty time in my life, dude. I was really depressed and like alone, and I was kind of like working out a little bit and doing a bit of training just to keep my mind occupied.
Yeah.
So I went down there to hang with these dudes and see if I could get a roll in. Cause you know, this guy's a UFC fighter and he's like a top black belt in Australia. And I watched him rolling with his buddy, and I introduced myself and I said, yeah, nice to meet you. And I'm Nick O'Grady. He's my black belt under Roger. I'm living here for a while. And I said, can I roll with you? And he just said, no. And I was like, okay. Like he's like, yeah, sorry, man, I'm not rolling with people I don't know.
Wow.
At that point I was like, I was kind of offended and I thought he was a bit of a dick. I was like, okay, well, fuck you, bro. I didn't say that, but that's what went through my mind. And looking back now, I've realized that guy was right. He was totally smart. Right. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's strong boundary, dude. It's having a boundary. Like, I think I'm going to take that ethos on moving forwards. If I don't, because it always happens, man. It always happens. A guy will ask me and I'll get a weird feeling. It's almost like a spider sense. It's like, is he asking me to roll because he wants to have a fun roll and like learn something and like just, or is he asking me to roll because he wants to beat me up and test himself, you know? And like,
right.
And when that's it never fails. Every time that spider sense goes off and I choose to continue the roll and do a roll, I either get injured or something shitty comes out of it. So I got to pay more attention to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think it's a smart way to train. You know what I mean? I think it'll you're, there's more longevity because, you know, you're 38, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm 10 years older than you. I'm 48.
God damn. I always forget because you look like you're 28, bro.
I know. I'm almost 50. I'm actually close to 49 now. I got a birthday coming up in May. But you know what I mean? As we get older, like, you know, we're going to love jiu-jitsu more than we, well, you know, 10 years ago. I love it more now at 48 than I did at 38. You know, mm-hmm. So I want to keep my body safe and be able to do this for a long time. And if sometimes that means saying no, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I hear you.
Doesn't matter who it is.
So, Mike, I wanted to talk about something else, which I don't know. It's one of those things you've said to me that always just sticks in my mind, and how I actually brought it up on last week's episode. I think it was last week's episode of the show. How you said it's no good. Like, let's say you get a guy with an attitude coming off the street who's like a dickhead, it's no good just training him up in jiu-jitsu because then he's just a dickhead with an attitude that knows jiu-jitsu. And you've got to train, you got to teach the complete person, or approach it as he's a whole person, not just someone who's trying to learn these jiu-jitsu skills. I wanted you to know like a little bit more about how you plan to do that with your new academy.
Yeah, and that's sort of like become like our tagline here for, you know, the name of our school is Flow Life BJJ. And part of where that came from was, you know, I've talked about this in the past, and, you know, people can go back and listen to the previous podcast where I talked about how I came home one day and I said to my wife, I'm going to flow Mike Bidwell now. And that was a turning point in my life where, you know, I started creating videos and created BJJ After 40 and, you know, and created momentum from all that. And then that sort of transcended into, you know, this dream to open up a school out here in Colorado. I love Colorado. It's just like, it's such a, if you've never been here, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And it's the mountains and the air is just beautiful, perfect. And everything about it, there's just amazing spiritual community out here and an amazing jiu-jitsu community. So we wanted to create, you know, Colorado was the perfect fit, and we have a lot of family out here as well. And my wife was born in Colorado and she's a native. So, you know, this was a perfect fit for us. And so when we just came up with this idea for this school, Flow Life BJJ, sort of the tagline for it became a holistic approach to the martial arts, or a holistic approach to the gentle art. And for me, holistic is considering, like you said, the entire person. You know, not just their physical capabilities, or, you know, we're all so different. You know, you have the 20-year-old wrestlers that are going to come in and want to do jiu-jitsu, which is great. And you have lots of those guys out there. But there's also a lot of like really normal people that, you know, 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 30-year-olds and just people. When I say normal people, I mean people that have a lot of normal day-to-day responsibilities. And so we want to create and cultivate an environment where the 20-year-old wrestler can come in here and learn all the dope, cool stuff that we're doing. But there's also a place for females, which, you know, a lot of schools don't have, maybe aren't, you know, we have it right on our door. We have two stickers on our door. We have a Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood on one side and a Jiu-Jitsu Sisterhood sticker on the other side.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw that.
We want our school to be open to everybody. You know, if you look back at what did Elio Gracie say? He said Jiu-Jitsu was for the weak. It was for the gentle, right? There's some quote like that. Mm-hmm. But it never said, you know, jiu-jitsu is for just tough 20-year-olds. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's plenty of athletic people out there, but there's plenty of people that, you know, just, you know, want to do jiu-jitsu because not because they want to go compete in the Mungiles or something, but they want to just like learn the art of jiu-jitsu.
And yeah, so, I understand.
Yeah. So understand. Creating an environment that, you know, like our school's a little bit, it's aesthetically, it looks different. You know, we don't have, you know, all the normal accoutrements of the school, of the fight posters and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's something I'm really trying to do with my own approach, not just to jiu-jitsu, but to life, is I really want to try to be as original as possible. And, you know, I love the idea when you said to me the other day, you said, we're not having any medals or any cups or trophies or fight posters or anything in the gym. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought like that's original, man. That's, you know, because there's a format, there's a template. And I think there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, I'm going to start an academy. Let me look at what the other people have done and use it as a starting point or maybe even copy it, because sometimes that works. But for me, I wouldn't feel good about not having some element of originality in my academy if I were to open a physical academy.
Yeah, and that's kind of how we felt. You know, we said, here we are. We have this great opportunity to create from nothing right now, from no thing. We have this empty palette that this school can be whatever we want it to be right now. And we've gotten so much feedback from everybody's contributed to this, you know, friends, my family, my wife's parents, they've helped us create the logo. That my father-in-law has been in here working and helping us create the look of the school. So my kids have helped with the school. Everybody's helped with the school. So it's been really cool just having all these hands involved in it to create something that maybe is a little bit different than, you know, what's out there right now.
That's cool. All right. That's awesome. Yeah. Good for you, Mike. That's so cool.
Yeah. And I was going to say, one of the other things that we've added that's pretty cool is we have this flow class. And the flow class, it's basically incorporating like meditation, movement, and breath, which to me are like the connective tissue of jujitsu. Meditation, 100%. Movement, and breath, right? So in this class, it's not like, it's sort of a movement class where, you know, like think about, remember when we got together when you came to New York and we were doing our like hour and a half stretch?
Yeah, I remember that.
Kind of what you and I do, right? Like the things that we do that we feel like helps our jujitsu. But most people probably don't maybe do those same type of flexibility movement exercises.
Okay.
Right. So we want to take that meditation, that movement, and that breath and incorporate that into a class, into an evening class. That's like the perfect like wind down after you're rolling, you know, for an hour to sit you up to go home and sleep and do whatever you have to do. You know, so it's like a really cool class that we're going to do that I think is going to really help people with their jujitsu. It's going to help with recovery. It's going to help with injury prevention. And it's going to teach people how to move their body for jujitsu.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I want to come to one of those. I want to come visit your academy, dude. I'm itching to check it out, dude.
Well, you're getting ready. You're going to do your own thing here, right? Like an online academy.
Yeah, man. So look, man, I've been, I don't want to say at war with myself, but I've been, whenever I do something, I'm not one of those people who half-asses it. I want to do it. I want to make it the absolute best I can do. And I put my heart and soul into it. And I was toying with the idea. I had this plan to move to the States for a while. And I was toying with the idea of opening an academy when I got out here. And everyone was saying to me, "Are you going to open an academy? You're going to open an academy." And I was leaning towards yes. But whenever I would say yes, I felt like a weird resistance within myself. I don't know what exactly it was, but resistance is the best word. It just didn't feel quite right to open a gym here. I don't know why. Perhaps it's the time of my life, but I think it's more to do with the fact that I still have a little bit of restlessness in me. And just the fact that I've now got a house is a big adjustment, dude. It's been a big, big thing for me. So to also have a bunch of weekly time commitments, like when I have to be at the academy at X number of days and time slots per week, I'm not yet ready to make that kind of commitment. And I don't want to do something half-assed, as I said. I know if I open my own academy, I'm going to have to be there for the first couple of years, 5 or 6 days a week, because I would want to give people the very, very, very best service. And I've got these affiliated academies around the States, and I'm going to be teaching a lot of seminars and stuff. So I can't really commit. I'm not the kind of guy who's going to dip his foot in the water. I want to dive right in. So, and I'm not able to do that right now. So I finally came up with what I believe is the solution. And that is that I'm going to create an online academy. I'm very excited about it. I feel there's a totally different energy behind this than there was when I was tentatively thinking about opening a physical location. So I'm going to call it the Masterclass Academy. And I'm super excited about it, Mike. I was starting work on a project about over a year ago, which was a membership site called the working title was Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood TV. And I did a lot of work on that, preparing like the curriculum and the content and, you know, putting the framework in for what it was going to be. And now I've realized that a lot of that work can be put into or be used for the Masterclass Academy. So it's morphed into the Masterclass Academy. And I think it's going to be something really special. I'm very excited about it. It's launching on February 1st. So I'm sure we'll have you do some guest content for
definitely.
It as well.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a really cool idea. I love it. Yeah.
So, Bud, what date do you guys open this Monday coming up?
Monday.
Wow.
So our grand opening is going to be Saturday. And then Monday we start our official classes.
Okay, yeah. So I'm just going to put this out there. If you're a big, tough, strong motherfucker in Colorado and you want to test yourself,
head on over
to Flow Life Jiu-Jitsu.
That's right.
Are you going to have those things like they had in Kickboxer where you wrap your hands in the cloth and then dip them in glue and then dip them in glass?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Awesome, Mike. Well, listen, my brother, I wish you nothing but the best. I know you will give nothing but the best at your academy. And I personally, without even having been there, I'm going to give it my glowing endorsement and seal of recommendation. So right if you're in Colorado and you're thinking about doing jiu-jitsu or you want to try out a new academy, head on over to Flow Life on this weekend and Monday. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And then, on the 20th, if anybody's interested, I'm going to be doing a seminar, a 2-hour jiu-jitsu seminar on Saturday, the 20th. And then the week after that, we're going to be doing jiu-jitsu and a movie, which is an ongoing thing that we're going to be doing, which is pretty cool. We'll be playing The Matrix here while we roll and while we train and chill out.
Are you going to drink ayahuasca as well?
Yeah, for sure, man. Let's do it. Let's get together soon and do that.
I think that would make for a pretty interesting evening, like jiu-jitsu, The Matrix, and some ayahuasca.
Oh yeah, that could be that could get pretty crazy.
keep in mind, let the record state, I am just kidding. Ayahuasca is highly legal in the States. I'm never drinking it here. I want the record to be very clear about that. So Mike, if people want to find out about Flow Life Academy, where should they go?
Just go to Flow Life. It's FLOLIFEBJJ.com. So FlowLifeBJJ.com, or look us up on our social media sites too and come check it out.
Awesome. Mike, my brother, 1,000 blessings upon you.
Thank you, my friend.
It's clear that Mike puts a lot of thought into what he does as a jiu-jitsu instructor. And I love the fact that he's taking these original approaches. The idea of a flow class, I think that's just fantastic. It's one of the things I use in my own training as well. Sometimes I'll just set aside an hour or two on the mat when there's no one there, where I can just go and tumble and stretch and do strange movements and just get used to moving my body and just feeling what's tight or what needs work. And these are some of the most valuable training sessions. And I think what we sometimes led to believe in jiu-jitsu is that you need to push yourself extremely hard every training session. And if you're not leaving feeling extremely exhausted or busted up or like wrung out, then you're not training properly. And that's not the case. There is a place for training like that, but it doesn't have to form the bulk of your training. And seeing the success of someone like Mike makes it very clear that he's on the right path. Because if you look at the guy, he does look 20 years younger than his actual age. So he's definitely doing something right. Anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Until next week, peace out. We'll be right back.